feel like there are some people who are listening to me preach today, and you are carrying a letter of your own that was sent by an enemy into church today. I can't see it, and it's not on papyrus. But some of us have what I would like to call emotional scrolls that we carried into church with us today. It's rolled up so no one can see it. It's tucked away, not a letter that was written by human hands, perhaps, but a letter that is written in your heart. The words of the enemy that he has spoken. Sennacherib loves to get in your head. In your head. How many of you tend to be a lot of times in your head too much? Now, the reason those of us who are in our heads too much are in our heads so much is because all of the people who are in their heads too little. Somebody has to think for y'all, or we're never going to get these bills paid. Holly's so good for me because I'm in my head all the time. She's in the moment. Take that however you want. I'm not saying that I'm smarter. It's just like, she's so good for me though. Like, this used to annoy me in our marriage. You know how they say, in marriage, opposites attract. And then after marriage, opposites attack. And so it used to make me so mad. I'd be talking about something so deep like, if he watches over every sparrow. And I would think she wasn't looking, listening, and she'd be like, I'm like, what are you thinking about? She's like, the grocery list. But I liked eating. So I was glad that she was thinking about something kind of practical while I was thinking about something ethereal, abstract, and spiritual, because I don't want to fast. And our marriage in many ways has been a merger of her style of processing and my style of processing, which I'm in my head a lot, and she's really good to get me out of my head. I was on the brink of meltdown like 4 years ago with some stressful stuff that was happening with the ministry. And she goes, I know what we're going to do. We're going to go for a walk. When she said, I know what we're going to do, I thought she was going to give me the solution. There's like a complicated situation. And I'm like, walk. She's going to go. She goes, yes, as people do. It's not that deep. We're going to walk. You're going to feel better. And she was right. When I'm in my head, the problem that I'm considering seems completely unsolvable. When I'm in my head, it appears to me that I have no assistance available. When I'm in my head, every text message that somebody sends me has a secret, covert, malicious intent to it. Why'd they say it like that? Why'd they use a comma? Why is there no period? Why does that emoji have drool coming down its mouth? Now that is weird. I should look into that. But you know, you start reading into everything when you're in your head. Oh man, why did they say it like that? Why did they look at me like that? They weren't looking at you. It's completely ridiculous for you to think that everybody in that video game called Your Life is an NPC and you're the main character. But yet we do that when we get in our head. Have you been stuck in your head this week? Is that why? Which one's my main camera? I can't remember. The top one? Okay. Have you been stuck? Let me start over. Have you been stuck in your head this week? Is that what's been happening in your life? That God took me all the way back thousands of years before you were even born, before you even got in this battle that you're in, before you even started feeling these symptoms in your body, before you even started feeling this stress that has you completely wound up and unable to deal with your life. Is that why God had me studying about a king who thousands of years ago, before you and I were ever even a thought, before you and I were ever even a shimmer in our mama and our daddy's eyes, before you and I were ever even a part of this planet, this king named Hezekiah gave us a pattern for what to do when the enemy tries to get in your head. Aren't you glad for the strategy of God? Because honestly, I need a strategy. I need to know how to do battle in my brain. I need to know what to do when what I believe about God is telling me one thing and what I see in my life is saying another. I need to know how to respond to Sennacherib. I've got my own Sennacheribs, and they send me letters. They are my personal fears. They are not yours. My fears speak differently than your fears, because my devil is custom designed to defeat me according to my weaknesses and my strengths, and so is yours. So the challenging thing for me today, can I preach? Is that I know what this Bible says, but I don't know what your letter says. I know what this word says about what God is and who God is and what he can do and what faith is, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, and what his word is, the everlasting seed which produces change. I know what his word says. I don't know exactly what your letter says. And I don't know if your letter is something real that you're going through and it really is a diagnosis, or if it really is just something that you're imagining that hasn't happened yet. I don't know if your letter is something that's going on in your industry, your company, something going on in that corporation called your family. You know that company where you can't fire anybody? I don't know what your letter says. But Sennacherib told Hezekiah, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to wipe you out. It's going to be humiliating. Sometimes the letters that the devil sends me to get in my head is he tells me that something in my life is going to happen to cause me great shame. And let me tell you another thing. The day we live in, you don't even have to do anything wrong to be publicly shamed. So that can feel like a real threat, can't it? When things are going good in my life, Sennacherib tells me it won't be this way long. When things are going bad in my life, he flips the script. It's going to be like this forever. Sometimes when I preach, they'll say, it was like you were reading my mail. And the Holy Spirit will read your mail. Today, we came to see what we need to do when we're holding a letter in our hearts of condemnation for our past that is behind us and forgiven by the blood of Jesus, but we don't feel forgiven, so we keep repeating it. We came to find out what to do when we're handed a letter of impending doom, even when there's no clear indication that it's going to happen, but you imagine it. And I'm gonna tell you why you keep imagining it. You need to stop listening to so many serial killer podcasts, chunks. Just messing with him. That's my dude. And sometimes we feed ourselves the raw material, and then the enemy makes our letter out of what we feed him. And then sometimes it's more passive than that. Sometimes it is things we didn't consciously choose. But whatever the situation is, it stopped me in my tracks when I saw what Hezekiah did about the letter that he received. And it helped me so much that I wanted to pass it along to you today. You want it? Verse 14, he received the letter from the messengers, and he didn't rip it up and pretend that it didn't exist, because that's one way to handle it, right? Some of us, we don't deal with anything that we feel. We don't deal with anything that we think. We don't deal with anything that we need to work on. We don't deal with anything that's stressing us out. We just rebuke the devil of stress. But if you rebuke the devil of stress without fixing the source where some of your stressful situations are coming from. I was trying to rebuke the devil one time, and it was like the Holy Spirit said to me, you're trying to rebuke the devil when you need to rebuke your decisions and reverse them and make better ones. Am I reading your mail? Is that what that feels like? Yeah, so he didn't rip up the letter, because I think that's a lot of times how we're taught to do this faith thing, right? Like, just to, oh, no, what? I believe God's going to make it better, and it doesn't matter what the enemy says. Well, the truth is there are some things that we have to deal with. This is not a king who's receiving a threat that he can just ignore. He actually does have to respond to this threat, because as we read at the end of the chapter, there's 185,000 Assyrian soldiers waiting to take him out. So if he gets the letter saying, hey, we're coming in, and just goes, I don't focus on the negative. I'm an optimist. You're going to be a dead optimist. You're going to be an optimist with a crown on is what you're going to be, Hezekiah. Optimist with a crown, but there's going to be no head on your shoulders. It's going to be rolling on the floor. You're going to be a headless optimist, a dead optimist. And a lot of people are like that when it comes to their faith. I rebuke this bill. The power company doesn't cut it back on because you said, let there be light. You can quote Genesis 1 over the power bill all you want in the dark. So watch this response. He doesn't rip up the letter saying, well, that's not true. You're not powerful. You can't do that. Yes, it is true. It is real. That's the reality of the situation. The second thing that I noticed that he didn't do, and I'm telling you what he didn't do, so that when I show you what he did do, you will have something to compare it to. He received the letter. Remember, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you just like I killed everybody. I'm going to kill your family. I'm going to take your kids out. Your kids are going to end up on drugs. Your kids are going to end up divorced. Your kids are going to end up worthless because you yelled at them this morning. That's how it goes for me. It spirals real quick. I would just be a little too harsh with the kids, and the devil would be like, that's why you're going to be bailing them out of jail right there. They're going to have a needle in their arm right there, and it all started with you. It can spiral real quick. Now, so this is the second thing that Hezekiah didn't do when he got the letter from Sennacherib. They're like, hey, king, we don't know what to do. We can see you've already ripped your clothes. It is a bad situation, but he sent another letter. So he received the letter, verse 14 again, and he read it. Watch this. And he read it again, and read it again, and read it again, and read it again, and read it over and over and over until he had memorized it. And then he gathered the whole nation and recited the letter for them that their enemy had written. And then he had it translated into 30 different languages so that everybody could hear in their own language the threat of the enemy. And then he began to study it, and he broke it down into different syllables, and he made songs around it. And he began to sing the songs of Sennacherib. That's not in the verse, is it? I can't prove this, but I think when it says, please put the verse back up, that he received the letter and he read it, that he only read it once. And after he read it once, look what he did next. He read it, and then he went up to the temple of the Lord. You don't even know how anointed that is, what I just showed you. That's what stopped me in my tracks. When I read that verse, I stopped and I said, oh, that's my problem. When I get a letter from the enemy, I read it over and over And over when he puts a thought in my head to draw me away from my hope, I play it over and over and over. When I have an experience where I make a mistake, I play it over and over and over. But when I get a word from God, I listen to it once and I go to lunch. So my problem is, watch this. I'm giving more attention to Sennacherib's letter than the Spirit's message in my life. So he read it. Somebody shout, he read it. He dealt with it. He faced it. He accepted it. He acknowledged it. I'm in debt. I'm overweight. I'm stressed out. I'm busy. I'm torn apart right now. I'm not in the position I need to be in to make the difference in the life of my kids. I'm not the example I want to be. Okay, I read it. But after he read it, he didn't stay down in it. Because if I stay down in it and memorize it, then I'm gonna get more of it. But come on, y'all, 2023, let's follow Hezekiah and do what Hezekiah did. What did he do? He read it and he went up. And I came to call you out today and tell you it's time to go up to the temple and see what the Lord says about this situation. Because if you stay in your head, you're dead. If you stay in your head about this, you are going to go through hell over this. And the enemy won't even have to shoot a single arrow, because he will defeat you by getting in your head and causing you to forfeit the very thing that you couldn't lose if you would stand firm and see what God has said.
Hey, thanks for stopping by my YouTube channel. I hope you were blessed today. If you were, share this with somebody. Like and subscribe and leave me a comment. Let me know where you're watching from, what we can pray for you about. Hope to see you back here again really soon.